morning and welcome, welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream wherever you're watching. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, we have a very, very busy show today. A couple of guests, Jim Emmer from the Better Business Bureau is going to join us at 11:06 to talk about tax scams. It is that time of year. What they're due next Monday, April 15th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So just a few warnings, things to look out for if you have not filed your taxes yet. And then coming up at 11:06, Kevin Erb is with the UW Extension Conservation Professional Training Program, and they are looking for weather nerds.
I think the term is weather geek.
But I think both are acceptable.
Okay.
I think both are perfectly acceptable. of course, we're going to be talking about the eclipse and give you some tips about that. Greg, thank you for purchasing our special eclipse glasses.
I had them specially engineered by a warehouse somewhere in San Jose.
Calvin's got them on right now.
Oh, look at Calvin.
You literally cannot see anything at all. But it's so much better than, because I have them, I am of a certain age. I would love to know that I am not the only person of my age who remembers the boxes we used to have to make with a little pinhole in it. And that was the way that you used to watch the eclipse.
That still doesn't sound healthy for your eyes.
Well, you're not, but you weren't looking up at the sun.
Yeah. What were you doing?
I never made one of those boxes.
Yeah.
But that was the thing before the solar eclipse glasses came out.
And that was just, what, like 2-3 weeks after the sun was created, right?
Yes.
Like the sun came to be and they're like, we have an idea.
And then I was born.
Exactly.
Yes. Thank you, Greg Bach. I appreciate that. So,
I don't know why I do that. It's just funny to make an old joke. I'm getting old too. Getting old.
We all get old.
I'm.
It's one of the inevitabilities of life.
My ankle just started hurting right now. So.
All right. President Biden is stopping in Madison today. He is expected to announce a new student loan forgiveness program. This about a year after the Supreme Court effectively knocked down the president's first attempt to cancel borrower's debt. So what's this going to mean? Biden's latest attempt at cancellations will be smaller and targeted toward five types of borrowers. This is from the Journal Sentinel. Those who may be eligible to get some or all of their federal loans canceled include borrowers whose unpaid interest has grown beyond the size of the original loan. And I know that that's a problem for a lot of folks.
Yes.
That is the, I can't even imagine how that feels to look at what you owe and the principal has not moved and your late fees or your interest charges just keep increasing.
I don't.
It's insane. It is insane. Also, people who enrolled in for-profit college programs deemed low value, borrowers considered highly likely to be in default within 2 years, undergrads who have been in repayment for at least 20 years, and borrowers who are eligible for other types of loan forgiveness but have not yet applied. Student loan relief, not a big surprise, is a big issue for younger voters.
Oh, absolutely. And it's been a cornerstone. Biden's been talking about it since running. And I think he was really influenced by other people, too, because he wasn't really talking about that until his opponents were. And he brought that on. Of course, Bernie Sanders is about
that, yeah.
Forgiving all the loans, period. But we have to be we have to be realistic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Again, if you borrow money, you do have to pay some of it back.
Well, not even so much that is that was never going to happen as far as like total loan forgiveness,
right?
Not in this country. So.
Right. Student loan relief, as I said, a big issue here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's 700,600 borrowers hold $21.4 billion in federal student loan debt. And earlier this month, the UW Board of Regents voted to raise in-state grad tuition for school next year by 3.75%.
They're just making it harder. They're making it harder and harder to afford school, so they're making it easier and easier to get money from these private groups that,
yes,
quote unquote, work with the government. But you're still, I was still paying to Nelnet every month.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm paid off, luckily.
Finally.
But
how long did it take you to pay off your student loans?
If I would have, so it was last year I paid them off. Everything it was about 16 years, which is far below the average for as much. I walked out of school with about $45,000 in debt.
Wow.
And there were some years there where I wasn't responsible. I probably could have paid it off sooner, but still 15, 16 years, that's still a very, very
long time.
Well, it's a long time, but it's far less. It's far less than other people.
I mean, I know. It blows my mind when people talk about they've been paying for their student loans for 25 years.
Yeah.
And they're still not paid off yet.
Nope.
It's just astonishing. 855-75-CIVIC. If you would ever like to join the conversation, leave a comment on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Well, I'm kind of disgusted with the Board of Regents for talking about raising tuition prices for our state, and I believe this is part of their plan to either close all the four-year institutions because nobody's going to be able to afford to go to them. They've already started with the two-year, or just to make everything privatized. It just is disgusting.
I do think, yeah, it's all about the push towards privatization, and we're seeing this in states all across the country where they want vouchers now. Voucher schools and giving out vouchers to voucher schools in order, again, and it's happening here in Wisconsin, right, Cindy, to taking away money from private schools to encourage participation in private schools.
Yeah.
But this is affecting, I mean, like I said, this is for the colleges mostly, and it's just another ploy to make it so people can't afford schools, so everything can either be privatized or closed.
Yep. Or bury you in debt.
Well, and now, thank you so much, Cindy, and really appreciate you listening, as always. And now that we're talking about this so much more, and I think people are, isn't this one of the reasons why our enrollment is down at four-year universities? Because kids don't want to come out with $100,000 worth of debt.
It's not worth it, especially in four-year schools. There's very few schools where you're going to come out of the institution with a degree in your hands and get that job,
that high paying job.
Yeah, your butt's going directly to grad school or to law school or to med school, higher learning of some sort. It's and I get it. I mean, that's, and you know, not, and I don't want to discourage anyone from going to a 4-year school, but man, we've talked about it a lot, especially in the last like 3-4 months. Don't sleep on those trade schools.
Absolutely.
Those apprentice jobs that'll get you, you know, those are some of the places where you can still get a pension.
Yep.
If you get a good enough employer. So I think we're starting to see that as well. And some kids just saying, you know what, I'm going to do my own thing. I what choice do I have? And unfortunately they point to us and older, they say, what choice did you give us? Because you've made it more expensive. You made it more difficult. And I, you know, schooling isn't where, and I can't buy, you know, it, I don't understand fully what millennials and younger are going through, but it just seems like a constant everyday uphill battle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
From buying a car to buying a home to even finding a place to rent. Yeah. It's tough.
Yep.
We're going to switch gears a little bit because I did want to talk about this as we're talking about President Biden being in Madison today, and we will have extended coverage across civic media when he begins to speak, and I'm pretty sure that the Devils are going to be there this afternoon, so we'll have lots of eyes on the ground in Madison when President Biden appears. But one of his challengers, Robert Kennedy Jr., the independent candidate, said on Friday, if elected, he will appoint a special counsel to investigate how prosecutors handled the cases related to the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. He also said Friday there was, quote, little evidence of a true insurrection, and also falsely claimed the protesters at the Capitol carried no weapons. We have talked about this many times. I watched it happen in real time.
Yeah.
I saw people breaking windows with shields that they took from Capitol police officers. I saw people beating Capitol police officers with flagpoles and other things that they were using as weapons. And the fact that he can come out and say that this was not violent, it's been three years.
Yeah.
It's been 3 years, and you're just going to investigate this now, RFK Jr. What have you been doing?
And also, why are you making such an incorrect statement? I mean—
because he thinks he's obviously playing to a certain base.
He's trying to get both sides. He's trying to get those liberals that are tired, who don't like Joe Biden. It almost sounds like he's trying to get Trumpers who are sick of Trump, or former Trumpers, if you will, because if he sows the seeds of doubt about January 6th, there's a lot of Trump supporters who, you know, might go to him if Trump becomes too extreme, or if Trump can't run. If Trump is not allowed on the ballot for whatever reason, which I don't think it will be the case. And another thing he said that the January 6th defendants were activists who are stripped of their rights, and then they retracted it.
Yeah, because the internet blew up when he called them activists.
You know, I'm going to reiterate something that we talked about a while ago. We were making fun of his anti-vax stance and we weren't making fun of his anti-vax stance. We were making fun of the fact he wanted to pick Aaron Rodgers as his running mate.
Yeah.
That was just stupid. And a caller phoned in and said, I think you're really you're making fun of him, and I think he's got some great policies. And then I went on his website and I saw, some interesting thoughts there.
That you agreed with.
Yeah, some real down-to-earth policies about the environment, about housing, about racism in this country that I don't disagree with, but I don't know how much he actually believes in this stuff, because none of it's actually real. It's just all words on a website. And then you come out and say something like they were activists who have been stripped of their constitutional liberties. No, Bob Kennedy. They were trying to overthrow our constitutional liberties. That's what they were trying to do.
They were calling to hang Mike Pence. Yeah. They built a scaffold.
Yeah.
More than 1,000 people have been charged in the attack, including 10 on gun-related charges. Hundreds of others have been convicted and sentenced. These were not peaceful protesters. The people who were genuinely, I think, just caught up in it, I don't think they're the ones who are in prison. We've gone down a list of some of the people who are serving time, and we'll do this again before the election, just as a reminder. More information about Bobby Kennedy Jr. on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Jim Temer from the Better Business Bureau will be joining us to talk about tax scams. If you haven't filed your taxes yet, you have until next Monday. And he's got some tips on what to look out for and be suspicious of so you don't get ripped off.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Which terrifies me.
It's not a good thing.
No. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I've been using the same tax prep guy for 35 years. Yeah. And one year we filed and someone had already filed and they got a really nice refund. I did not. So every year now I get a special tax ID number because it got hacked.
Dang.
Yeah, it's a pain in the neck. It's
dang. Really,
I know. Okay. I know. You got to be careful. We were talking about RFK Jr. right before the break on Friday, got into a little bit of hot water saying that the January 6th insurrectionists were activists. And then, of course, came the walk back after there was all kinds of blowback against that. He still says, though, if president, he will appoint a special counsel to investigate whether prosecutorial discretion was abused for political ends in this case, and I will right any wrongs that we discover. So far, more than 1,265 defendants have been charged across almost all 50 states in Washington. They have sentences for more than 460 people, Hundreds of others sentenced for lesser offenses, either to home detention or probation. But what I don't, again, understand about RFK Jr. is he keeps saying, I need more information about this. I need to investigate this further. Did you not watch the testimony before the January 6th committee with Michael Fanone and the other officers who were there being attacked by those people? You didn't watch any of that. You just kind of skated for the last 3 years. This never crossed your vision, or you never thought about it until now.
That is the classic response of people who have nothing to back. It's like so many times, I need to look into that. Why didn't you look into it before you said anything?
Right.
You look like a fool. And if you are a fan of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Bob Kennedy, whatever we're calling him now, Bob to the Jr., what is it about him you like? Honestly, that's what I want to know. I mean, because Joe Biden, he's old. Yes, he's old. There's no getting over it.
So is Trump.
Joe Biden, it may be not your cup of tea, but he's certainly better than two guys, who think that the January 6th events was not that bad.
A peaceful protest.
Yeah. It just befuddles me. I'm done with that. It's like, I need to look into more.
Well, yeah.
Cool.
And I think you need to look into more whether or not RFK Jr. is actually a Democrat. Because now that, No Labels is out, they weren't actually able to find a candidate to run, so they have completely shuttered their operations, I understand.
Yep.
I saw something over the weekend that said that two of the main donors to one of Trump's super PACs are also supporters of RFK Jr.'s super PACs. So he's getting money from the same people who are supporting Donald Trump. And we're going to play a little clip from a woman. This is Rita Palma. She's the New York State director for RFK Jr.'s campaign, talking about her strategy in New York State. This is kind of important, folks. Take a listen.
And we all know how that works, right? 270 wins the election. If you don't get to 270, if nobody gets to 270, then Congress picks the president. So who are they going to pick? Who are they going to pick if it's a Republican Congress? They'll pick Trump. So we're rid of Biden either way. Does everybody follow that? Yay. Okay.
Yay. He is there to be a spoiler. RFK Jr. Yeah. is there to take votes away from President Biden.
Yeah, and he is. And really, when it comes down to it, those who are disappointed or lackluster on Biden, and you're thinking about voting for RFK Jr., you're being taken.
Yes,
your vote will mean nothing. And okay, fine. If you are the person who walks down the road who does fit into all those categories, you are skeptical on vaccination, skeptical on January 6th. You are everything his website says, fine, vote for him. He won't be president. You'll be disappointed because it's either going to be Joe Biden or even worse, it's going to be Donald Trump.
Yes.
But this whole, what almost seems like a conspiracy now to bring Kennedy in to make him relevant enough, because the same thing's happening to him that happened to Trump. We were like, Bobby Kennedy Jr., who cares?
He's not serious.
And now he's not going away, and he's making more noise, and he's saying the right things to embolden the right people. And Joe Biden, unfortunately, is not going to take the bait. He's going to keep doing the work he needs to do. He doesn't puff his chest unless it's the State of the Union. Then you don't cross him. But he's going to look weak because he's not answering these guys who are pounding the pavement saying crazy things.
And they are crazy things.
Yes.
It was not a peaceful protest on January 6th.
It was not people taking a tour. It was not any of those
things. And staying between the ropes.
These were traitors. These were treasonous individuals. One of them serves in Congress right now. Derek Van Orden.
Oh, that's right.
He was there.
He was there. He took pictures. And he's very proud of the fact that he was there.
Yep.
He said he did not go into the Capitol.
I don't care.
Right. That's what he says. He did not go into the Capitol, so he didn't break any rules. But yeah, he was very happy to be there.
I love it when people like that get like, I didn't break any rules. Oh, that's therein lies the problem.
One other quick thing I just wanted to throw in here. This is, again, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. After Donald Trump was in Green Bay, was that last week?
Yeah.
Two friends attended from Black Creek. They said it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. They have been Trump supporters since 2016. They believe Donald Trump's faith aligns with theirs. One of them said, quote, "He's anointed from God," unquote.
All right.
I'm sure there's no way to counter that. Sure there's no way to point out previous behaviors that would, at least to my definition of Christianity, would not fall under that umbrella.
He is a broken Messiah. He is and he is in need of saving. He's not perfect.
He's an imperfect vessel.
Exactly.
He's an imperfect
vessel. He's like us humans. We can't be God, Jane, so we find our faith and our strength and ourselves within the Trump-a-lump, Donald. He is here to save us, save this country, buy his Bible, only $59.95. Unless his stock goes down further, then we're probably going to slash prices to sell more Bibles.
Yeah, Truth Social isn't doing so well.
No.
It's down to like $37 today. All right, news is on the way next. And when we return, we're going to talk about tax scams with the Better Business Bureau. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Business of love. I'm a mover,
good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. Call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. It is tax time. It is next Monday, April 15th. That is the deadline. And as always, and it makes me sad to say this, but I think it's really important that people know that there are people who will take advantage of you.
What?
I know, it's shocking. And that's why we have our guest. He is the CEO of the Better Business Bureau. Jim Temer is our guest. Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jane. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. So, if people haven't filed yet and they're still in the process of compiling everything for their taxes, what are some of the number one scams that folks should look out for?
Well, first you got to think about how scams work, right? A scammer wants you to feel a certain way. So you're either really upset, really happy, really scared. So you act out thinking, right? They don't want you to think through clearly. So one thing they're going to do is you could get that famous call from the IRS stating, you know, you owe us money and you haven't paid yet. You haven't paid from last year. Forget about this year. And they'll have badge numbers and they'll say how official it is. And then they may even follow up with a email directly to you. And anyone can copy and paste the logo of the IRS. So then that's the one where they're going to ask you to pay in a non-traditional way, right? If you ever get a call saying you have to pay us in wireless money or a prepaid gift card. You know, Uncle Sam does take our money, but I don't think he wants it in a prepaid gift card.
I love that so much, Jim. It's like, you know, give me a gift card from Bed Bath & Beyond because my wife of the IRS agent needs to use that. And then we're good, you know.
Right. But again, if you happen to be in the right frame of mind and you're worried about it in the first place, or another one they do is say, hey, this is the IRS. You know what? You made a mistake. We went through and you actually are getting a bigger refund or you're getting a refund. We just need to know your banking routing information and account number and social security number to verify this. And then we'll put it in your bank. So the scammers get that information and it's bye-bye bank account, and they can now steal your identity and they can do all sorts of stuff. Speaking of identity theft, people sometimes wonder, you know, what was my social security number? You know, I can change all my passwords and this and that. Scammers will get your social security number, and very early on, they will put in a tax return. Say that they moved, they'll use your name, your social security number, come up with some fake numbers. Maybe they know where you work, maybe they don't. And they'll then put that return in early. And if you're getting a refund, they get the refund. And you won't even know about it till you put your return in and you get a notice from the IRS saying, we already have a return from you.
That's interesting that you say that, Jim, before you joined us, because I mentioned this. This happened to me about 10 years ago, and I've used the same tax prep guy for decades. And he put my return in, and he said, somebody already got a nice return. And so now every year I get a special tax ID filing number.
Yep, you can do that every year. That's what you should do. Get that number from the IRS. They can mail it to you, whatever it is. Anything you can do to make sure, and it's a little late this year to get in early, but if you can, get it in early. That's another way to prevent that scam from happening. Tax returners as well. There's a tax scam for those folks too that you got to look out for. They'll get an email from a new client saying, hey, I would like you to do my taxes. And here's all my information in an Excel spreadsheet. Well, they open that up. It downloads some malware into their files, giving all their client information to the scammer. So then the scammer has, you know, can put in everybody's tax returns early, but also has all their personal information to go take out loans, to do whatever they want to do. So that's when we try and warn tax preparers about. But you're right. Even if you know somebody, you trust them, they're good. Scams like this can happen.
We have a text from Tom in L.A. who says the IRS will never contact you by phone ever. Is that correct, Jim?
Their first contact with you will not be by phone. They're not going to call you in the middle of the night, you know, saying the cops are coming to your house. They can call you, and they do. This changed a few years ago, but the first contact will always be through the mail. You will always get the letter stating what's going on, and they will follow up with a phone call. Now, up until a few years ago, that was true. They wouldn't call you, but now first contact is always by mail, and after that, they're going to call you. But you know what? They're not going to be demanding immediate payment, or you're going to be arrested.
Yeah.
They will talk through.
I'm sorry, Jim, you froze just there for a second. What did you want? What were you saying?
I was just saying the IRS, if you're talking to them on the phone, they'll answer questions for you. They'll work with you. You know, they aren't going to be demanding you pay now or you're going to jail.
Yeah. And they're certainly not going to ask you for Bed Bath & Beyond prepaid gift cards.
Maybe Bass Pro Shops, but not Bed Bath.
Okay, well, now I know I'm getting both of you for your birthdays.
Although, again, that is BBB with Bed Bath & Beyond.
That's true.
You know, this is sort of a off-the-side question. For Jane, too, and you can answer this as well. If you are the victim of some sort of scam with the IRS and say someone does file in place in your name before you get to, is there recourse? Like, do you have to file with the government to say, this was incorrect, you took the wrong person, I am this person, and do you get your money or do you lose it? Because the scammer committed the crime, they made a mistake, and you're sitting here holding nothing. I feel like, if anything, you are owed something. So is there recourse?
But are you owed it from the scammer, or are you owed it from the party, you know, that also already paid one time? That is to be adjudicated in a court of law, but the IRS will work with you. I mean, they want these things reported.
Yeah.
I can't say that they're going to give you all your money back or give you another refund for it. But all of these online scams, as we know, they're everywhere. And FBI, because these things are so hard to trace. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, you can have an IP address anywhere in the world, and you can change it to another IP address. And when they call you on the phone, these scammers, you look at your caller ID, it can say Internal Revenue Service.
Yeah.
It can say Brown County Sheriff's Department. It can say whatever they want, because those things can be scammed as well. They call it spoofing. So if you get it and you see on your caller ID, it says Internal Revenue Service, and they're telling you something, again, you're more apt to believe them. Or if they send you then after that an email with the same information in it, looking very official. Remember, when you go to any government website, like IRS, whatever it is, it ends in .gov.
Right.
Not IRS.com or not IRSGOV.com. It's going to end in a .com. So again, scammers will try any of that stuff. And if you get an email and you put your cursor over the link might say IRS.gov, but if you rest your cursor over it, it's going to give you the actual link where you're going.
You can also do that with their email address too. It might say like so-and-so of the IRS. If you drop down their email address, it's going to be a series of letters and numbers, and it's just going to be garbledygook. And I know that because I fell victim to a USPS scam once.
That's right.
You know, and I mean, you're never too smart. You're never too aware. Sometimes you're just not even paying attention. And it's Christmas time and the USPS says, hey, we didn't package your packages. You know, like you got to be very vigilant on all this stuff. And, you know, I don't want to place victimhood on a big group of people. But when we had Lisa Schiller on earlier, we did talk about these scams going up against elderly people. Can you speak on that, Jim?
Yes, you bet. Elderly people, the scams, they tend to lose more money. But we do study after study. And the number one group in North America to be scammed are those 18 to 24 years old.
Really?
Wow.
Employment scams, all sorts of download scams, fake ticket scams, because everything is done on the phone. Mm-hmm. Everything is done electronically. Older folks, again, can fall victim to home improvement scams, romance scams, investment scams. Boy, crypto investment scams are huge. You all know LinkedIn, right?
Oh, yeah.
Someone will go on LinkedIn and create a fake profile. You know, I handled investments for, you know, Berkshire Hathaway, and I did this and I did that. And I've got this glowing resume and I've got all this stuff. Then I may contact you through your social media or some other way saying, oh, you know, crypto is going through the ceiling. I can, you know, triple your money. And here, look, here's my LinkedIn page to build up that credibility. That's why they pretend to be from the government. They pretend to be experts, down to the fact of the guy that knocks on your door and says, hey, I was re-blacktopping your neighbor's driveway down the block, and I see that you need some too. I got some extra hot mix here in my truck. He's the expert then. So he's going to be telling you what you need. And boy, you know, I can do it for cash if you pay half and you pay up front. You give the guy the $400, he's saying, I'm going to go get the rest of my crew. You'll never see him again. Mm. So they try and be some sort of expert where if you question them, they make you feel like an idiot.
And we're polite enough. We're unfortunately, and especially in Wisconsin, I just think we're polite enough. We don't want to offend anybody, right? We don't want to call. Right. We don't want to call people out.
And again, I'd say more so older people than younger people.
Mm. There's nothing impolite by saying no, thank you.
Right. What I tell people, again, especially senior groups when I talk to them, is don't answer the door, don't answer the phone, delete the email, unless you know who it is. Simple as that. Yeah. Don't answer. If it's, you know, they can always leave you a message. I doubt that a scammer would be able to spoof, you know, Aunt Millie's phone number so you know when Aunt Millie's calling you, but they might be able to. But you don't have to. You don't owe it to anybody to answer that phone if you don't know who they are, or answer the door if you don't know who they are. And unfortunately, that's where our society is going.
Jim Temer is our guest. He's the CEO and president of the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin. And we're talking about tax scams in particular, but other scams in general.
I was just going to say, if you are out there, and I can't speak to iPhone users, but one thing that's great with my phone, I have a Google Pixel. It comes with, on the Android, spam filters for phones, for your phone calls, as well as a thing where if someone calls me and my phone doesn't recognize them, but they're automatically not counted as spam, it will send them to a identifier prompt. We'll say, who are you and what are you calling about? And then they have to leave their name and their business, and I decide whether or not I'm going to pick it up. If you have an Android phone, try to employ that software, especially for, you know, you're saying for older folks. That way, someone, if it is Aunt Millie and she's calling from Uncle Roger's house and it's all, you know, we don't know what's going on, she can identify herself. So just another way of protecting yourself from scam calls.
It's just, it's so different though, Jim, because I'm of a certain age, and You never let the phone ring. Good heavens, you were missing out on something if you didn't answer the phone. You picked up every single phone call. It could be the boy you had a crush on or something really critically important, like where's the party tonight? So it's hard to get out of that habit, though, of I'm going to miss something important if I don't answer the door, if I don't pick up the phone, if I don't answer the call. But we have to recondition ourselves now, right?
I would say, especially during this upcoming election year,
yes.
The phones will, and now here in Wisconsin, a battleground state, the phone's going to be ringing off the hook continually. And political parties and nonprofits don't fall under the no call list.
Oh.
And scammers don't care about the no call list. They're already breaking laws and they're probably calling from somewhere on another side of the planet. So do not call lists are great, but they don't prevent any of this other stuff from happening.
Yeah. And the moment you block them, they're going to get a different number to call you from. And same with the emails. I mean, it's an inconvenience of technology. And luckily for my generation and younger, we don't, if the boy who's crushing on you likes you, he's going to text you.
All right, we're going to keep Jim with us for another segment. If you have a question for Jim, you can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And I have another question for you, Jim, when we come back about trying to scam the scammers. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just a baby in this business of love. Badu 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 bye. Do ba 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 bye. Bow wow wow bye. Habu bada bada la bada la bada la bu bye. Habu bau 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 bau. Badu 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 bow.
If you wanna run away with me, I know a galaxy and I could take you for a ride. I had a premonition.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Cal B, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon is ruining. Our guest is the CEO and president of the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin. Jim Temer is here, and we've been talking about tax scams and tax preparer scams, the deadline to file your taxes next Monday on April 15th. My question before we went to break, Jim, one of my sisters loves to try and play with people who call her phone. And she'll pretend she doesn't speak English. She'll, she tries all kinds of wacky things. And I know that this gives her a great sense of pleasure. And I can appreciate that. I just don't know how valuable that is.
Well, if you like that kind of thing, we actually have an employee that has posted all sorts of videos on YouTube. Her name is Julie, and it's called Julie Calls the Scammers. And she'll play along with them. But the idea, it's kind of humorous when you can hear what the people say, but it's to educate folks on what these scammers can talk to you about, what they can say, what kind of questions they ask, how they avoid certain questions, or they can, turn something around. So it's interesting, but it's also informational. If you have the time on your hands, I've talked to people who say they do the same thing, and they figure that if they can keep a scammer on the phone for 5 minutes, that's 5 minutes they aren't trying to scam somebody else.
Right.
A lot of people don't have that kind of time. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But then again, a great way to not being scammed is don't have interaction with the scammer. If there's any chance at all that they may be able to convince you that this is legitimate, you're going to be in trouble. Because the longer you are with them, the more, they may try and convince you otherwise.
Yeah, definitely. I can certainly see that happening. But That sounds like a really good thing to do with, like, especially your older relatives, to watch those videos. You said it's Julie Calls the Scammers.
Yeah, it's something like that. But we've got all sorts of videos out there on YouTube for that. And, we mentioned older people a few times. To destigmatize scams is really important. Because nobody, if they're living alone and they're older, wants to admit that they've been taken advantage of.
Sure.
Let alone, I mean, nobody does.
Sure.
And these are real crimes. People will take your money and then you feel unsafe. It's not the same as, you know, strong-armed robbery, but you are victimized. And people feel very ashamed. They feel it's their fault that they were scammed. So when you talk, when you're talking to anybody, especially maybe those living alone, say, you know what, if you ever get approached by somebody, if, you know, it's on the phone or whatever, give me a call, vet this with somebody else, talk to a friend or mm-hmm. relative. Because mm-hmm. again, the more information and the more light of day that comes on these scams, the less you're going to fall for them. And if you are the victim of a scam, you know, don't make somebody feel bad about it. Say, oh, you know, how can I help you not to fall for that kind of thing again? Because millions of people are losing billions of dollars every year coming out of our legitimate economy here in the U.S.
Jim Temer is our guest. He is the CEO and president of the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin. I know one of the latest scams that has really been very lucrative for the bad people are these fake romances. And you had kind of mentioned that when we got started and talking about people being ashamed of being taken. And that seems to be a big thread in that particular scam.
This one and the grandparent scam is both of which I find heartbreaking. For a romance scam, you meet someone online, they're going to right away, if it's a scam, want you off of that site because those sites are monitored, those dating sites. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be like, oh, why don't we just text? Why don't we email?
Oh.
So they want to get you off of there right away. They may send you small gifts, send you trinkets, and usually they're, again, out of the country. They're somewhere else. There's a reason why you can't meet. Or, you know, I want to come meet you, but I don't have enough money for plane fare. Right. Well, you send them the money.
Yeah.
You know, my grandma is sick. I broke my leg. It's excuse after excuse. And this stuff plays on people's psyche so much that even when they figure out it's a scam, they can't believe it. They still want it to be true. And we've had cases where the scammer will be confronted and they'll say something like, oh, you know, this was a scam at first, but then I really got to know you and I fell in love with you. And, you know, I could never hurt you. I mean, stuff that is scary. And if you're lonely and you think you found someone and they're telling you, you know, they're feeding you things that make it seem like it's a real connection, you're in too deep.
Yeah.
That is so heartbreaking, yeah. Jim. That just breaks my heart.
And if I can quickly on the grandparent scam, if you've heard of it, hi grandma, this is Jim. I'm in Mexico. I got arrested. Mm-hmm. I need $5,000. Don't tell my dad. Everybody's voice is out there somewhere these days on TikTok or somewhere. AI can take your voice and create it to say whatever the scammer wants in your voice. So they can call grandma and say, in my voice, this is Jim. I just got in a car wreck. I'm in India. I need cash and I need it now.
You know, that's a perfect segue into a text we just got from Lynn from Oconomowoc. She says, if you answer your phone and engage, don't risk that. They're going to record and use AI to copy your voice. So people are aware of that. And my mom even told me about a scam where they just get you to say yes or confirmed so they can use that to do other things with your voice. So you go on.
I was going to say, we call that the can you hear me scam.
Yeah.
You answer the phone, you say hello, and a recorded voice says, I'm sorry, can you hear me? And you say, yes, I can hear you. Or they'll say, is this Jim Temer? And you go, yes, it is. And then they'll say that you bought whatever product it was, and we have it on a recorded line that you said yes.
Yep.
So that is correct.
Yeah.
And then how do you get out of that if something like that happens to you, Jim?
Well, if there's no money down and someone says you bought something, they're going to need a little more proof than that. You know, at that point, let the scammer come after you.
Yeah.
I would not forward any money to someone where that was a potential scam and I never said I would buy it. They may threaten a lawsuit. Let them come.
Yep. That's one of the reasons why I don't engage with scammers on the phone. And I stopped. For a while, when I was getting text messages from scammers, I was being a smart aleck about it. And then I realized this isn't a good idea. So now when I see something, I get a lot of people asking me if I'm going to be late for our tennis match. So I just hit block and report, because they don't know me then.
And sometimes they just want a response to see if it's a live line. Yeah. They're sending that out to millions of numbers.
Yeah.
Jim Temer, the CEO and president of the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin. We have to have you back, Jim. This was so informative and heartbreaking. But knowledge is power, right? Knowledge is power. Thank you so
enjoy
much.
Enjoy sunny Waukesha.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. News is coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.